I want to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you to present God's word this morning. Everybody heard the scripture that was read in your hearing. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses this morning where I'm going to be taking my lesson, verse 29 and 30. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. And the Bible reads, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assailing to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The title of my lesson this morning is called "The In Search of the Missing Verse of Faith." Now, when we talk about faith, faith is an essential theme that runs throughout the entire Bible, that we need to understand that faith is the foundation in which humanity have a relationship with God. Not only that, is that faith is the means and how we draw near to God. There are so many scriptures that talk about faith. There's some that come to memory, and we've been studying the Roman letter, and those who remember that Brother Obed talked about in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, it talks about the just shall live by faith. Also, there's in the Bible where it talks about that we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we have to look at faith, and when we look at faith, we know that it is something that runs through the theme of the entire Bible, so much so that we have an actual chapter dedicated to it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is what we call the Hall of Faith, and it lists all those who have shown exemplary faith all throughout time. So faith is very essential when it comes to our relationship with God. But before I get to my text this morning, let me give you a little bit of background on the letter or the book of Hebrews. The Hebrews were written to a set of Jewish Christians who just converted over to Christianity. And the problem that these individuals were having is that they were being persecuted for their faith, meaning that those who were professing to be Christians, they were being thrown out of their homes, they were being beaten, they were being persecuted for their faith. And what was happening is that these newly established Christians started to draw back. They started to go back into the Jewish religion. So the Hebrew writer has to write this book or this letter to show that, hey, what you're drawing back to, Christ is superior. And when we talk about the book of Hebrews, it's essential. Christ is the theme of the entire book, how Christ is superior. In chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, we see that it tells us that Christ is superior than the prophets. In chapter 2, we see Christ is superior to angels. Chapter 3, superior to Moses. And it goes on and on. And then when you get to chapter 10, he tells us that the sacrifice and that the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ was superior to the sacrifices in the Old Testament of bulls and goats. But there's a key thing that we need to pay attention to when we get to chapter 10. At the end of chapter 10, and I'm going to start with verse number 37. Listen what the Bible says. It says, for yet a little while, and that we shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall not be have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. So Paul, the Hebrew writer is telling them, hey, do not draw back. You know, don't draw back. Do not go back to that old religion. And he goes on and tells them that, hey, that God is not pleased with those who go back, who walk away from faith. And that he goes on in chapter 11, he tells us, then gives us a definition as to what faith is. He tells us in chapter 11, verse number 1, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Then he goes and gives an example of those in all the ages that show exemplary faith. First, he talks about Abel, how he offered a most excellent sacrifice. Then he talks about Enoch, how he was translated. And then he talks about how Noah showed exemplary faith by building the ark. He talks about Abraham, how he sojourned in the land. And he talks about Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. But he gets to verse number 29. And let's read it once again. Now watch what happens in verse number 29 and verse number 30. He says here, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do so, but drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days. Now, if you're not careful, you'll miss a detail that is very interesting when we talk about the Hebrew letter. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. In verse number 30, it said, by faith, they walked around the walls of Jericho. But if you're not careful, you will miss a important detail. The detail is that the generation that walked through the Red Sea is not the same generation that walked around the walls of Jericho. So when we talk about Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 29 and 30, there was an entire generation that is not mentioned in the book of Hebrews. There's an entire generation that showed a lack of faith and showed no faith. In other words, the Hebrew writer had to skip 40 years to find individuals that had faith that was pleasing to God. So this morning, what I'm going to do is that I'm not necessarily going to preach verses 29 and 30. I'm going to preach what's in between. And what we're looking for is that we're searching for the mystery. We're searching for the missing verse of faith. We're trying to find what happened. What happened to those individuals, that first generation that came out of Egypt? Because somehow they showed no faith. And by showing no faith, they did not make it to the promised land. So this morning, we're going to see what is going on and what's happening with this generation. And most importantly, how it applies to us today. So, you know, when we talk about that first generation is that they went through the Red Sea and they were on their way to Canaan's land. And they're on their way to their promised land. And Christians, if we have to pay attention when we read the Old Testament. Because when we read the Old Testament, it's just giving us an example of what the things that we would go through in the New Testament. For an example, right, we always sing songs about Canaan's land. We sing songs all the time about Canaan's land and that I'm on my way to Canaan's land where the soul of men never die. We talk about marching to Zion or camping towards Canaan land. For us, Canaan land is heaven. That's what it is that as Christians, we are marching our way to heaven. For the Egyptians or for the Israelites, the Canaan land was their promised land. So when we see there an example of as they were marching to their promised land and marching to Canaan, is the same thing we're doing in our lives today. And that we're going to show how the example of them showing a lack of faith is the reason they did not make it to the promised land. They did not make it to Canaan's land. And the warning is for us today, is that as we're marching to our Canaan land, as we're marching to heaven, is that if we show no faith, we would not make it to our promised land. So we see that when we talk about the Israelites and them marching to Canaan, we have to understand that there's so many similarities, church. There's so many similarities of us and them. And for example, we see that while they're in Egypt, Egypt represents sin and bondage. That's what Egypt represents. They were in Egypt for hundreds of years, and it represented sin and bondage. So God had to send a prophet. But before he sent the prophet, he sent that prophet with miracles. That this prophet performed miracles so the people can believe that who he was. Not only that, is that God wanted them to shed a lamb. And that blood of that lamb had to be put on the doorpost, is that when God came by, he passed over those houses that had the lamb on them. And not only that, is that they had to go through water. They had to go through water. And you may ask yourself, Brother Brown, what that has to do with us? It's the same thing. God sent us a prophet named Jesus Christ. And that when Jesus came, that he performed all kind of miracles so people could believe who he was. And not only that, is that he was that perfect Lamb of God, the one without spot and wrinkle that shed his blood. And for God to pass over us, that we have to have the blood of Jesus Christ on us. But you may ask, how do we get that blood on us? How do we get the blood? Through the watery grave of baptism. Just as they had to walk through the Red Sea, if you want to make your march to Canaan's land, you got to start in the watery grave of baptism. Church, I come to say that we got so many people in the world today, so many people in the world today that are stuck in Egypt. They're stuck in Egypt. They're stuck in Egypt, and that they have yet to put Christ on a baptism. They have yet to walk, get into the watery grave of baptism, and yet have the blood put on them. So we have to look and see how the children of Israel have, as they march to their promised land, or march to the promised land, and how we are to live our lives as Christians today. It's the same thing. And I love the Bible, how the Bible gives us examples in the Old Testament. Everybody turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Everybody should have known that this, for those who are Christians, these are some familiar passage. It says, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So what Paul is saying here is that the things that we learned about in the Old Testament is written for our learning. And that when we look at what the children of Israel went through as they were marching to Canaan and what things that occurred, it's the same things that we go through today. The same exact thing we go through today. But the question on the table is that what happened to them? What happened to them? Everybody turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, here's where we're at. The children of Israel have left Egypt, and they've walked through the Red Sea, and they're marching to the Promised Land. And they get to the edge of the Promised Land. In Numbers chapter 13, as a matter of fact, when you look at the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers covers the wilderness journey. And when you get to the edge of the Promised Land, it's some things that happen. Let's start reading at verse number 1. And the Bible reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I have given unto the children of Israel. In every tribe of their fathers shall they send a man, every one a ruler among them. And so we see that God is sending out 12 spies into the land. And everybody knows that when we talk about the children of Israel, that there were 12 tribes. So 12 individuals went into the land. 12 individuals went into the land to spy out the land and to see, all right, what God has said, if it was true, what God has said about the promised land. But what happened? Well, let's drop down. Everybody drop down with me to verse number 17. Listen to what Moses says to him. In verse number 17, it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, go ye up this way southward, that you may go up into the mountain and see the land which it is and the people that dwell therein, whether it be strong, weak, or many, and that what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that dwell in them, whether they be tents or strongholds, and what land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, or whether there be of good courage, and bring the fruits of the land the time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses gives them some more instructions. He tells them to go into the land, and that he wants them to spy out the land and to see What kind of people were there? Is it true that the land is full of milk and honey? When we talk about milk and honey, we're talking about if the land is fertile. What kind of people there are? What kind of things are grown there? Are they strong? Are there fortified cities? These are the type of things that Moses and that the spies were to go and check out and see. So we see that these spies are going into the promised land to spy it out. Now, here's the thing that I want you to understand. If there were any of these things in which they're going to see some of the things that was in the promised land. But what I want you to understand is that these are the same people that were in Egypt that watched how God sent the plagues on Egypt. 10 plagues. These are the same people that seen how God split the Red Sea. Same people. They seen it with their very eyes. So it doesn't make a difference what report came back. They should have had enough faith to know that God can deliver anytime that they need it. And think about our lives, church. God has delivered each and every time. Each and every time. It might not be on the time frame that you want. It may not be exactly what you want. But God is faithful. And how do I know? It's because you have breath right now and you're standing here. God did not have to wake you up this morning. As a matter of fact, there are people, millions of people, hundreds, thousands of people that have woken up and they were not on this side of earth anymore. And sadly to say is that they died still in Egypt. They died still in Egypt. God has given us every opportunity to get it right in our lives. He wants each and every one of us to be marching towards Canaan land. And not only that, is that he wants us to have faith in him. That's what God wants. He wants us to trust him. No matter what happened in our lives, do you trust me? That's what faith is. It could be financial matters. It could be sickness. It could be death. God wants us to trust him. And what we're about to see if we're about to see the lack of trust and how God feels about it. Again, they are right there on the promised land. They can see it. They can almost taste it. Church, we're marching to that same promised land. And we're going to see how the report of a few can disrupt the many. All right, let's go with me to verse number 26. Look at verse number 26. And they went and came unto Moses. Now, these are the spies as they came back. All right, in verse number 26, and they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and showed unto them the congregations, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you there sent us, and surely it is flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Now watch this. Now, God told them what they were going to find there. God told them that, hey, in this promised land, it's flowing with milk and honey. He told Abraham hundreds and hundreds of years before. And we're seeing God delivering on his promise. But here's the problem. That next verse gets me. That first word of the next verse gets me. Nevertheless, here go the doubters. Here go the doubters. Listen to what it says here. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the city are walled and very great, and the city were walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak, and the children of Anak are what we call the long neck ones, meaning that they were giants, very tall individuals, individuals with tall stature. Watch what goes on. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And listen, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." But the men that went with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we." Now hold up. These are the same people that just came from Egypt. Now, if you don't know, the Egyptian army and the Egyptian nation during that time was the most powerful nation on earth. And they saw with their own eyes how God broke that nation down. And in a matter of months, they forgot. Think about that. They have forgot. Now, how did that apply to us? How many times has God delivered for us? We have prayed, God deliver. We go through another difficulty. We pray, God deliver. We go through a harder difficulty. Oh, God, I can't do it. We even have those that walked away from the faith because times got hard. We even had people, and if I remember John chapter 6, verses 66 and 27, we had people even walk away from Jesus because they couldn't take the words that he was saying. So we see that in our human nature, that even though there were giants in the land, that no giant is bigger than God. See, we do this in our mind all the time, is that we minimize God and maximize the problem. God can deliver and has delivered each and every time. But we get spiritual amnesia and forget about all the things that God has done for us. Now, if you look around in this congregation, we are a mature congregation. And I want you to look. We have members that are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And what I want you to look at for those who are younger, I want you to look at them. Look at their faithfulness. Look how they're here at evening worship. Look how they're here on Wednesday. You know why? Because they're faithful. They've been through some stuff. Their health is declining. You know that there were times where we would go to some of the nursing homes, or we'll go visit some of the sisters and brothers that may be ailing or in recovery. And you can see that. I can remember Sister Janice Payne as she's sitting back in the back of the room. I can remember when she was in the hospital, how we would come in and we would sing songs and she would want us to open the door so everybody else can hear. You see that? These are the type of individuals that have been through some things. So we see that when it comes to example of faith, we have that within our own congregation. But we see that when it came to the children of Israel, guess what? It was the older generation that failed them. That old generation that seen everything that God done failed them. See, when we have giants in our lives, church, and that is a guarantee, each and every one, nobody is exempt. You're going to have giants in your life. But no giant is bigger than God. No giant is bigger than God. So they go and give this bad report. And let's go to verse chapter 14. Let's continue to read what's happening to the children of Israel. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto themselves, Would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And therefore, saith the Lord, brought us into this land to fall by sword, and our wives and our children shall be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Oh my goodness. Really? It amazes me that if you ever read their journey into the promised land and things of that nature, they always, for some reason, had a fond memory of Egypt. Think about that. Sin and bondage. How many times as Christians do we have a fond memory of the things of sin and bondage, the things that we used to do? But we can't go back. Not only that, is that we see it in the coming verses, and this is the one that really gets to me. And it says, and they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return. They want to go back. Not only that, is that they wanted to make a captain. Now, who was leading them to the promised land? God. God has done all these things for them. And they wanted to make somebody else their leader. Who does that sound like today? All because they came to obstacles, problems, issues. They're guaranteed. And you may ask, Brother Brown, why do we have to go through all of these different things? The reason why we go through problems and obstacles and things like that is because God wants us to know that the things that we got, it wasn't about us. We didn't do it on our own power. He wants to show us that it was Him that delivered us. We should give God the glory, not our own selves. So as they made it to the edge of the promised land, they want to go back. And next thing we know is that God sends down His punishment. He sends down His punishment. That those who are up 20 years and older would die in the wilderness. God had to march around for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Think about that. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand, is that we're all going to go through our wilderness experience. We're going to go through difficulty. And you know who the prime, you know what? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, Deuteronomy is the book to the second generation. These are the people that they're on the edge of the promised land. This is the second generation after the 40 years. And this is what God had to say to the second generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to start my reading at verse number 1. And all the commandments which I command thee this day, ye shall observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which I swore to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways of the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thy heart, that thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did your fathers know that He might make them, thee know that man doeth not live on bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, if you look at the last part of that verse, does that sound familiar? That man should not eat of bread alone? Now, mind you, this is their wilderness experience. This is their wilderness experience. This saying, it sounds so familiar to me. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now, I want you to see the similarities as to what they went through and what we went through and what our own Savior had to go through. In Matthew chapter 4. Now, mind you, this is what I want you to see. That at the end of Matthew chapter 3, guess what Jesus does? Jesus gets baptized. He's baptized. And right after he's baptized, he has this wilderness experience. Church, it's the same with us. Is that once you put Christ on in baptism, you better be ready for your wilderness experience. It's going to come. It's going to come. But, and so we get to Matthew chapter 4, and start, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And listen what Jesus says. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every mouth, I mean by every word that proceed out the mouth of God. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8. He was showing them, if you want to be successful in your wilderness experience, believe on the word of God. Trust in the word of God. Church, each and every one of us are going to go through our wilderness experience. We're not exempt from it. We're going to go through difficulty. But Christ had provided the answer. He provided the answer. And I'm conclude my lesson, because the start of this lesson, the title is In Search of the Missing Verse of Faith. And you may say, Brother Brown, you haven't shown this yet. We know that they're not in Hebrews chapter 11 of those that showed exemplary faith. Where are they at? Everybody turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading. Let me get there real quick. I'm going to start reading at verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. Now pay attention to these words. But I exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all which came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom he was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that have sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Instead of these children of Israel, this generation, being in chapter 11 that showed exemplary faith, then chapter 3, where it talks about no faith. So if the Hebrew writer had to rewrite the book of Hebrews today, what chapter would you be in? Chapter 11 or chapter 3? We see a whole generation missing that showed no faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So when we talk about faith and when we talk about our march and our march to Canaan's land, the one thing that we have to understand, if you have not put on Christ on in baptism, you're still in Egypt. I'm sorry. You're still in bondage. You haven't even started your march. Or maybe we have some of those that, yeah, you started your march. You have put Christ on a baptism, but you're in your wilderness, and the giants of this world is beating you down. So much so that maybe you have stepped away from the faith. Maybe you have sinned. And maybe you want to get it right with God and start marching towards your way to Canaan. You can do so. But if we have those that have not yet been put on Christ in baptism, who's still in Egypt, you can do so at this time. Do you believe Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that hey, you have erred in your ways and that you need to repent, that you need to make an about face, that you need to change? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior? And when we talk about confessions, this is key to the book of Hebrews, because those Hebrew Christians during that time, when they confessed Christ, they were persecuted. Are you willing to confess? Are you willing to be persecuted for your faith? That's what it means, that you're willing to put Christ first in your life, to say he is Lord of your life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to get into the watery grave of baptism and have your sins washed away? And once you do that, my friend, you're on your way to Canaan. You're on your way to Canaan. And while you're on your way to Canaan, I suggest you read Matthew chapter 4 and look at Christ's wilderness experience, because that's what's waiting for you. This life as a Christian is not easy. It's not. But Christ and God are faithful. And if you believe what God says and he will deliver on his promise, then you will make it to the promised land if you stand faithful, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.